Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, so I've always wanted to do some sort of like top episodes of the year rundown thingy. This year, I had a little extra time before taking off for the holiday. And so kind of threw something together just based on like what the episodes were that you listened to the most in future years. I'd like to open it up for voting, get your input. But for this year, we're just going to be rerunning each of the top five episodes while we're on holiday break. And here it is, your number two most listened to episode of the year 2023.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 310, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Ooh, who is that? This here is a podcast where we take a deep dive into a Mary Share consciousness. I just got it at a secondhand store. It's very comfortable. Anyways, it's Friday, October 27th, 2023.
A banger of days. National Civics Day. Shout out to everybody who has no idea how the government or anything works. National Black Cat Day. Shout out to all the owners of black cats, myself included, and our very illustrious guest as well. National Frankenstein Friday. Don't know what that is. It's also National Breadstick Day. So, you know, holler at your stick bread. And National American Beer Day.
Frankenstein Friday, the day that the events depicted in the Monster Mash actually, like, historically took place, maybe?
Canonically.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it's always the Friday before, or the last Friday in October, for whatever reason.
I had labor questions about the opening of Monster Mash this year, where it's like, is he compensated for working in the lab late one night?
Late one night?
Oh, is he self-employed?
Right.
I don't know.
That's a great question.
True. I know that the guy who wrote that song, he had like a daughter who he tried to like launch a Nepo baby pop star career with. And it was like, it was a music video. My friend made the music video and it was her and Henry Winkler. And it was like all about like, there's a bunch of horses. And anyway.
Wait, what?
God.
Yeah, the monster.
There were a bunch of
monsters.
You can't go halfway through the sentence. There were a bunch of horses.
There's like the opening scene of the video is like this, the main, you know, the lyricist, the singer. She's like at a horse stable, and like Henry Winkler comes out all like perplexed. He's like, "Honey, we gotta get the horses. Moonshadow hasn't been fed," and it's like weird, very poorly acted opening. And then like there's a music video
from the like what year was this taking?
This was like 2000.
Oh, five or six, okay. So it was like a belated launch. It was like, all right, now that this song has officially made it and everybody's like wondering what day in history it happened on, for instance. Maybe we can launch this into something.
Now, does that, are we to believe that it's possible that Henry Winkler owed Boris Bobby Pickett a favor? And if so, what could it have been?
What went down there?
How did they meet? Does Boris Bobby Pickett know something about Henry Winkler that would lead him to have, like, to have to be in this? Because if it's mid-2000s, Henry Winkler, like, he's back. He was the dad in Holes.
It's like pre-Arrested Development.
Post-Holes.
Yeah. It was like, it was kind of an in-between, you know, it was a bit of a lean period. I think it was right before we fully re-embraced Henry. But anyway.
Wow. So he was just like, yeah, hell yeah. Fuck it. I'll do it.
Yeah. Moonshadow is hungry. Fine. I'll kill that line.
Anyways, what a story to kick us off with.
I'm telling you, if I find the video, it'll be in the footnotes. Trust me.
On this Frankenstein Friday. Is that what it is? Frankenstein Friday?
Yeah.
So it must be the last Friday before October 31st.
Last Friday of October, Frankenstein Friday.
Well, my name is Jack O'Brien. Yes. I forget where I am, just generally. AKA Wood or Ice. It spilled in my pants while I was on the ride. Na-na-na-na-na. Wood or Ice. I swear it's not piss, it's just Wood or Ice. That is courtesy of First Blood 522. We can't move on from this, can we, AKA writers?
No.
We're still on the fact that I ghost pissed my pants on a child's ride. That was very scary.
I was not brought up to speed on that, but
oh, you didn't
I
read
don't...
your daily briefing? Your Jamie Loftus daily briefing?
Yeah, the presidential daily briefing.
I feel like I know. And if I don't know, how I'm thinking of it is better.
Yeah.
And then I just
blame my wet
shorts on the wood.
On a ghost.
By the way,
dang ghosts, huh?
It's a good thing, ABBA, we're not from Philly, I guess, because Waterloo does not
Waterloo.
Sound. If it's Waterloo. Waterloo. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Oh, kiss me beneath my LASIK eyesight. Teach me to keep my eyelids closed. Leave yours open and look at me staring. Meet my wide-eyed glance. Eyeballs now touching. So kiss me. Shout out to, was that Salvador Jolly on the Discord? Yes. You know, Durante was on earlier and was talking about how, you know, having some kiss chemistry issues with dates and just say, you know what, we probably can't go on any more dates because the chemistry's off. And I, you know, she's talking about being honest with people. And I had to say, shout out to my high school girlfriend who said, stop keeping your eyes open when we make out. And you need to hire those lessons. So shout out to you for making that
wide
an AKA.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah. And with eyes wide open. There's another AKA for someone to make.
And I like the added lore from this song that you are doing that because you were trying to kiss eyeballs with the person. You were trying to touch open eyeballs with them, which is very, very intimate.
Painful.
Also
too.
Painful and not very sexy.
I've found it helpful, like, to have to articulate, if someone asks you, like they're the back of an 18-wheeler, how am I doing?
Dial this number. Yeah.
Right. And I usually am like, great. But then every once in a while, I'm like, how are they doing? This was in like the last year where it was like, I don't know how you're getting your tongue to be flat, but that's not necessary.
Oh, interesting.
Someone making their tongue flat. Like
And flat?
Like it had suddenly experienced, you know, like it was like 30 feet, you know, subterranean. It just flattened. It was
flattened
really
out.
Interesting. Yeah. So I feel I also improved at giving feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your feedback was, just to clarify here, don't have such a flat tongue. Your tongue is fucking weird. Keep that shit to yourself, homie.
I said, first of all, you're being disgusting.
This whole thing, this whole act is ruined.
This is making me sick.
Yeah. Miles,
mm-hmm.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat. by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore, mm-hmm. one of our favorite guests, one of your favorite guests,
yeah,
an Emmy-nominated writer, artist, comedian behind many of the most acclaimed podcasts, like mm-hmm. AtCast, Ghost Church, Bechdelcast. She is the New York Times best-selling author of the New York Times best-selling book, Raw Dog.
Raw
Please
Dog.
Welcome the New York Times best-selling author, Jamie Loftus!
Jamie!
A.K.A. Mrs. Joey Chestnuts yeah. roasting on an open fire
That's right.
at Santa University. Oh, you know who's going to be making a little appearance this year in Santa University. That's from at Zombie Zamboni 13. Like, as if I could,
wow.
just when fan you account. Think it couldn't
Loftus
get better.
Fan account.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
when you think it couldn't get better. Ugh, that really, I'm so happy to be back. Hi,
We're
guys.
So happy to have you.
It's funny, too, right. like, there's so many, you know, this show is merely a stepping stone and a place people pass through onto greater things. And for many people that become as successful as you, a lot of times listeners are like, oh, shit, it's beef, huh? Jamie hasn't been on the show. And I'm like, no, Jamie is doing quite well in promoting a New York Times bestseller. So, yeah, you know, there's other things happening.
And I mean, not to mention the beef.
The beef is ugly and we don't talk yeah. about it, but
the beef is, but we put aside our differences.
Well, absolutely. And you know, we begged you to come back because we're like, help us. We'll do anything.
They're so mad at us. Congratulations. I think this is the first time you've been back since becoming a New York Times bestselling author.
I believe so. Yeah.
Thank you for saying it so many times.
It's dope. It's the dopest thing to say about anybody that you know. You're like, oh, yeah, so New York Times best-selling author. Obviously, Jamie Loftus. So.
Yes.
Thanks, God. This year's been all over the place. That was a high. That was a good one.
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. We're very happy for you, proud of you, and excited to have you back on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First... couple of things we're talking about. Five Nights at Freddy?
Jack.
Have you guys heard about this? Five Nights at Freddy?
No, Jack.
Is this right?
You're
five
telling
nights
me.
At Freddy.
They're spending
Five Nights at Freddy?
Five Nights at Freddy.
Hey, you guys watching Five Nights at Freddy?
I'm like so stoked for Five Nights at Freddy.
Yeah.
I got a text being like, Killers of the Flower Moon this weekend, Queen. And it's like, well, it's more of a Five Nights at Freddy weekend for me. Killers of the Flower Moon, that's a November project. But yes, I have to, you know, seize October. I already saw Saw X. I got to see Five Nights at Freddy. I got to see that fifth night. I'm hanging in for that fifth night.
Wow.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reviews are in and they are bad.
They hate it.
I had a friend. I have tried not to learn what Five Nights at Freddy is. Five Nights at Freddy. I had a friend be like, it's the latest Nightmare on Elm Street movie, right?
No,
Freddy's thing?
I was like, no.
I know that's not correct. But now that you're saying Five Knife Freddy, I mean, who's guy with five knife on his hand?
It's actually Five Knife Ready.
Right. I'm just saying. All of that, plenty more. But first, Jamie, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so something from my search history is a guy I'm just completely enamored with. Move Over Joey Chestnut, Monty Revolta is who has been on my mind. Have either of you heard of Monty Revolta?
No.
I was really desperately trying to write a last minute Halloween profile of Monty Revolta, but he tragically does not seem to know how to use the internet very well. But like So I forget if we ever talked about this on TDZ, but I worked at at the Haunted Hayride last year in Griffith Park.
Yeah, we did.
And it was a very, you know, meaningful experience to me. I have a lot to say about it today. And I went back because the one thing that I didn't get to do while I was at the Hayride, as like in addition to like being treated like a person, was I never got to see... I never got to see the like main stage huge show, which is this undead lounge singer named Monty Revolta.
Oh, okay. Wow.
he is the star of the Hayride. I never even knew what he looked like until I looked him up, because he's kind of, I'm not going to say he's a diva because I don't know what he's like, but he didn't fraternize with the other Scare actors. He wasn't around.
Oh,
Monty's
Scare actors. God, I'm learning so much just ambiently.
Try to keep up with these industry
you're
terms.
Just like tossing strays to the sides that I'm like, they're called Scare actors.
They're called Scare
or Scare-ctors, at Universal Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah.
Well, that's some high rent stuff. Yeah. We couldn't afford that kind of vocabulary. But yeah, that's like every Scare actor would, you would see Monty's band. And Monty's band would kind of like, at least one of them was like kind of swinging his dick around about his proximity to Monty. And there were some really, but I never got to meet Monty. I never got to see him perform. Then I went back this week because I just had to know, what changed since last year. It's like visiting. I have no love for my college. Like, I would never return, but I will go back to the Hayride every year as if I graduated from
a reunion
there.
Yeah, you got the 2022 reunion.
And Monty, unbelievable. Like, I couldn't stop smiling. My friend took a picture of what I looked like looking at Monty, and it was like, he's so
clutching
literal stars and hearts in your eyes.
He's funny. He comes out of a coffin in the beginning.
Oh,
what?
He's got little jokes. He's physically huge. He's like 9 feet tall. He's every, oh, it was, he closed the set on I Will Always Love You.
Oh.
And at one point adjusted the lyrics to I Will Always Love Ghoul. And I,
yes, he did.
It really hit for me. I love Monty Rivolta. I love his website. His website is so
dude, this
bizarre.
Website is legendary.
It is good.
Yeah.
It is so good. Monty Rivolta and his Band of the Living Dead. It was made in, on Angel Fire.
Look at his clients. He's working with everybody who's doing a freaky fucking thing in the Southland.
Oh, he doesn't give a shit. I mean, well, he also the Hearst and Reptile show, Monty Rivolta is and his undead band are going to be there.
Right.
I'm like...
The Winch? The Winchester Mystery House? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
they've played the Winch.
They've been at the Winch.
They play the Winch?
I love
you
that that's like CBGBs for like haunted novelty bands.
Right.
He played the Winch. I think he's so cool. And I kind of love that he is sharing his beautiful art. I cannot figure out what his government name is to save my fucking life. I just love
Blake
what
Johnson?
A mystery he is.
I'm seeing that somebody named
Blake
Johnson played Monty Rivolta in Monty Rivolta Acting Dead 2016.
I've seen Blake Johnson, and it could be true. It doesn't fit his vibe whatsoever.
Interesting.
Right.
This 9 foot man singing I Will Always Love Ghoul, I'm like, that can't be a guy named Blake Johnson. I'd lose it.
Right.
I don't understand. I don't know. I've been trying to figure him out. I was like, maybe I could shadow him for a night, but
right.
He just crickets wants nothing to do with me. And
Blake Dedson maybe, but Blake Johnson, come on.
Exactly. I wonder if he's changed, because I wonder how much crossover there is between this and like hot dog eating, because there's a guy who I would now consider not a friend, but like a heightened acquaintance. Mm-hmm. This guy, Crazy Legs Conti, who that is like now his government name. He had it changed. And I'm like, maybe Monty Rivolta just was like, this is my life. I'm making this.
Oh, and he has dreadlocks?
Monty Crazy Rivolta
Legs
does
Conti?
Or Crazy Legs?
Yeah, no, Crazy Legs Conti.
Crazy Legs most certainly does.
Woo! Love those dreadlocks.
Also, like a really, really tall, physically imposing person, has a huge Marx Brothers collection. Mm. Interesting guy.
Feel like you have a type, Jamie. Really tall. not a real human.
In reality, I date men who are tiny and hate me.
This guy went to Johns Hopkins, Jamie?
Yeah. Yeah. Like super smart. Got like lived in LA for a while. Like really, really a fascinating man. I went to the after party, the like hot dog eating after party, and like was chatting with him for a while, and I was like, how people are amazing. I have hope for humanity because this is possible.
Yeah. You could look like an Adam Derwitz like impersonator, wear a fedora and just crush the competitive eating scene. I love it.
Unbelievable. He spoke at my New York book release show and was telling this story that I was like, what are you talking about? You're scaring everybody. Like,
like your like new friend that gets invited to the wedding yeah. and like gives a 4-hour speech.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is a militant feminist. But he was like telling a story about, and like he was really cool. But he was like, yeah, I was getting ready for this mayonnaise eating contest and I was doing it at this girl's house because you don't want to be eating mayonnaise at your house. I'm like, but you do want to be eating it at a girl's house?
Yeah. He's like, mean crazy legs.
Right. So I was like, why would you eat it at your girlfriend's house? He's like, well, she wasn't my girlfriend. It was casual. I was like, what?
whoa. I don't put, crazy legs doesn't put labels on things.
That's called a mayonnaise side piece. I dip over to her place and side. Just eat handfuls of mayo.
Life is beautiful.
I love. So I've been, ever since you said Monty Revolta, I've been trying to figure out what that is. Like that. So he's a lounge act, like mm-hmm. a lounge singer who is mm-hmm. like themed, Halloween themed. Yeah. Am I stupid? Is there an obvious reference there? Is Monty Revolta referencing something?
Not that I can tell. I forget, like... I went with somebody and he had like all these ideas. He had all these pitches for what it could be a reference to. He was like, is it Mars Volta? I'm like, that would be weird if he was trying to reference like
indie
Mars
rock
Volta.
Act Mars Volta from the early 2000s?
That would be very Blake Johnson to do. That sounds like a Blake Johnson.
Yeah, Blake Johnson would totally be into that.
Right.
Was a huge Mars Volta guy. Yeah. I can't figure out what it is. I also can't really tell how long he's been doing it, but I do know that he plays weddings, and that is really lighting a fire under my ass to
get married.
Consider that yeah. to get married before it gets too huge and I can't, get him for weddings anymore.
Because the Band of the Living Dead would suggest that his wordplay is fairly straightforward, but Monty Revolta, I don't know.
Yeah, Travolta is the closest thing I can
think of. I'm thinking Travolta, but like
Monty Travolta.
Monty, yeah. Like Johnny Travolta, Monty Revolta,
I'll ask him if he ever answers my fucking email. You know I'm going to hear from him on November 5th. Like, it is like talking to... It does remind me of, like, come July 12th, Joey Chestnut, everyone is, he's left everyone's mind temporarily, and then you can get him on the horn.
Right.
But, June, forget it. July 4th, don't even try.
It's like trying to get on the phone with my accountant during tax season.
Swish.
Thank you. From way downtown. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and keep talking to Jamie Loftus. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and Jamie is back on the show, and we are about to ask you, what is something that you think is overrated?
So this, it does kind of dovetail with the haunted hayride discussion. Hyper specific conglomerates, because no one I know worked at the haunted hayride this year because of this. Like, there is a haunted hayride and haunted attraction specific conglomerate which acquired the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride, and like, kind of, I don't know, not to sound like Gen X about it, but like, they sold out. Now it's fucking corporate. It's sponsored by Hulu. There's all this shit there, you know? And so, yeah, this company, 13th Floor, which is a great, you know, if you're going to acquire a bunch of haunted hayrides, you'd better be called 13th Floor.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they like, as far as I could tell, lowered the wages of employees, acquired all these things, sold a bunch of sponsorships to Hulu, jacked up the prices so it cost $50 to go on a hayride, you know, and we can only hope they're compensating Monty Rivolta and his Band of the Living Dead fairly. But I just I take real issue. I feel like they're, you know, if it was still a mom and pop operation, it would still be equally unsafe. You would be taking your life in your hands
right
by attending, but you know, it would cost $20 and be fun. Not that it wasn't fun, it was very fun, but it's unsettling to go to a local haunted hayride and feel that it has gone corporate.
Truly. Especially like the one at Griffith Park, like it had like this, you know, homeliness to it, but I guess now they're gobbled up by 13th Floor Entertainment Group. I mean, I was like, are they owned by venture capital? Is
that what's going on? Right. Like, it has to be someone sucking the fun out of everything. It was still great, but I was in a hayride alumni text group, and most people who went back, they were like, I got put it sounds ridiculous to read the text, but it's like, you know, someone I worked with last year is like, well, I quit today. They put me in skeletons and I was told I could do a stunt, but then I couldn't do a stunt. So I walked out on all the skeletons. And I was like, good for you.
Yeah.
I feel like this could just be the entire episode is talking to you about your experience with these haunted houses. Like the local haunted house market has come up a little bit as like we've been talking about. Like
buying a haunted house?
Instagram. Yeah, we've been talking about
the haunted house market.
I feel like right Pete Davidson and Colin Joe's buying a boat, you guys buying a haunted house together.
But just like that level of like the Instagram activation things. Like I took my kids to like Bubble World, I think it was called. And it was just like a bunch of balloons. Mm. But it was like a whole thing designed around Instagram that seems to be like from about the same level of like employee and thought put into it as a haunted house, but just like not around Halloween, and like they just fill in an old Ralph's and stuff. Like I'm just curious what it was like in the guts of the haunted house industry.
It seems like based on how my boss last year behaved, he had just about fucking had it with this corporation, and would start to say, the last night on Halloween night 2022, He was dressed as Legolas.
Oh. Wait, what? From
just for fun. Most nights he would wear, you know, like a black shirt and black pants because he was at work and right. he wasn't a scare actor. He was like the actor coordinator. But he was growing and he had been in the haunt business for years. He would come around and like he was a super nice guy. He'd come around and like show you pictures of like him and his husband working haunts in the mid 2000s. And then he's like, then I got the leg injury and now, you know, I'm happy to be working in a curatorial role and blah, 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 blah. Ooh. And like super, super cool guy.
I love that level of professionalism and like dedication. That's great.
Yeah.
He was great. And he ended up quitting and not coming back because he was being, you know, micromanaged and like told that he was being too easy on actors. He was giving us too many breaks and like
Holy shit.
He was being nice to us. And so by the end, he like made a whole speech to everyone on Halloween night dressed as Legolas, not related to the speech, but certainly enhanced it. You know, he was like, I am leaving this business. This season has broken me. And I am like, he was done. They had gone corporate. He had had it. And there were so many injuries that like we weren't allowed to talk about. It was really, and then he said, he was like, my husband and I may move to Europe. I was like, wow. Was it that bad? Or was that like an unrelated plan? I don't know.
Right.
I love that he gave like an Eisenhower speech about the military industrial complex, like on the way out. He was like, this whole industry is fucked.
It's rotten.
Here's how.
Rotten to its core. And you're wondering why I'm dressed as Legolas? Because Gondor has no king.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
But it does also sound, because another kind of related at that level, like world that I find super interesting, in addition to haunted houses, is like Ren Faire, right? Like, I feel like Ren Faire people might just as well, like, segue right into haunted hayride acting.
Totally.
But I feel like the Ren Faire is a little more debauched, though, behind the scenes.
Oh,
you know, like, it is certainly hornier. I went to my first Ren Faire this year, so I can't speak to the culture.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. But it seems like there's got to be a similar, like, there's a real theater kid showing a barn energy to the hayride, which I feel like the company, like the corporate interlopers kind of take advantage of, because it's like, oh, if these people get injured, they're not going to say anything because it feels like we're doing community theater and we have to all finish it together. And I'm like, no, we should sue these likely venture capitalists.
Didn't you get like a promotion last year? I remember I was following your tweets because someone like busted their knee or some shit. And they're like,
busted
all right, Jamie, you're the fucking star tonight. Well, oh, that's
busted their head.
And we are using the passive voice into what happened to their head. And their head for legal
busted.
Reasons, there's nothing that Jamie had nothing to do with it. Was not working to work her way up.
I certainly, what if I was doing it all about Eve? Yeah.
Just saying, you are a huge I, Tonya fan.
Right.
I was Murder Same Nurse. Me. I was cast as Murder Nurse 2.
Wow. And, that's right.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, I was like a substitute, and I was intended to play a different part every single night because there were so many injuries. Yeah, and there were so many injuries, and like COVID was going around that there was always going to be like, I was looking forward to being like, and now I'm a spider, and now I'm a chainsaw clown, but I only ever got to be the murder nurse because the first night, the other murder nurse like fell off of a platform and hit her head and was taken away in an ambulance.
Right.
And she still came back. That was like when I was like, dude, you have to like, I don't know. I was trying to be as like undercover as I could be, but I'm like, you should sue these guys. And she was like, no, you know, I got to finish out the season strong. We're a family here. And I was like, no.
They don't think you're a family.
They're not.
Yeah, you're not family to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was the sole murder nurse. I went on the murder nurse, no longer a part that is played within the hayride.
Oh.
It was retired. They retired your number.
Yeah. They're like, it's not going to get better than this.
Yeah.
That's such a, like, that feels like one of the things where the entire charm is that it is like slapped together by unprofessional people. And for it to be taken over by like private equity is a real bummer.
Such a bummer.
This is fun. I think we can do this for half the price and get twice the people in.
Like when private equity takes over the whole Carney circuit, I feel like that's when we're really fucked.
There's a blog that I would read in high school and still read now whenever he posts, called diaryofacarney.blogspot.com. Wow. And he shares very similar views to you on that point, where he's just like, we used to be a proper country.
Thank you. I'm glad you're ascribing these views to me.
We're chicken shit, man. Chicken shit now. Fucking America, man.
It is a bummer. I mean, and that's not to advocate for the old way of doing things, because it really did seem to, you know, like, because at the Hayride, it was like a lot of, you know, guys in their 40s and teenage girls. Uh-oh. Which would play out the way you would imagine. Right. In a really gross. So it was good that we had, you know, a good supervisor. Old Legolas to you know, he would regularly just move the 40-year-old guys elsewhere. Like, you'd be like, oh, we've got an issue with a werewolf. We're going to move him to the maze.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
Strategic.
Of course,
very
it's
strategic.
The werewolves.
Of course.
I know. Playing to type. Disgusting.
What's something you think is underrated, Jamie?
Women's hockey. This is something that's been on my mind recently. I know. I was excited to tell you about it, Miles. So I have been thinking about, I was with my dad over the summer, and he's a hockey writer, and he was on the Bechdel cast after asking for years, because every couple, like once a year, he'd be like sort of throwing his hat in the ring as a potential guest on the show. And he's like, like, he's just like, you know, James, Slapshot was written by a woman. Did you know that? Did you know that? And there's a woman in the movie as well. And I was like,
and those brothers, they have long hair. Yeah.
So you could say they're challenging the binary a little
bit.
Those Hanson brothers.
Hair. Yeah, the original foray into that.
And so this year, finally, I was like, Caitlin, my dad, he won't stop until we cover until we cover Slapshot. It would improve my day-to-day life if we just let him cover Slapshot. And I thought he did, you know, it was great. Slapshot does not hold up particularly well, is in fact written by a woman. But we were talking about on the show how there's like no movies, at least, about women's hockey, or at least popular movies about women's hockey. And so I was thinking a lot about just the idea of girl Slapshot. And then when I got back to California, I was like, well, is there even, like, what is there? And so... And it's there's not much, but there's two places that I've been checking out, including this pickup team in Simi Valley.
Oh yeah, they got a good rink out there. Yeah.
Ooh, it's the Isoplex. I was.
Oh, Simi Valley's now an Isoplex.
It's an iso. Wait, did that change?
The original Isoplex used to be in like North Hills, like West Hills area, like off the 405. Yeah. And their club, because I was all, you know, I was in the SoCal hockey scene. Their team was called the Wolves, and Isoplex was like one of the nicest newer rinks, but I didn't know that they had rebranded or moved or whatever. The rinks, the further you go out of like main LA County, they're much nicer than what we have. I played at Pickwick in Burbank.
Ooh, is that even still there?
Yeah, like they shoot, they always like use that place to shoot any like skating scene, like in the office, like when like there was like ice skating there, like they shoot it there. So many things are like filmed in that rink, but
it's just a very shallow pool now.
The Isoplex was beautiful. And so I was like trying to go to these women's pickup games because there's a lot of like co-ed teams, but there weren't a lot of just like specifically women's teams. And I finally made it up this week. I'd been like texting with this woman, and it was like we were having a difficult time. And I was like, why am I having difficulty communicating with this woman? And it was when I got there, it's because she's like my mom's age. She like the team was, it was like people in their like mid to late 20s through their mid to late 60s.
Wow.
Like all playing together, play together every week, play
but not
well.
Checking, right?
No, okay, which is I think is important for the older players too.
Yeah,
like they
can't, for
sure. They can't
check
play.
Could end your life.
Exactly. And so I just have been, I don't know, and just talking to them about like everyone had driven minimum an hour to be there because there are so few options, and I just, man, I had the best time talking to these ladies. And they had they have like a bar at the rink too, so you can just go and hang out afterwards, crack a Labatt.
Yeah, some Molson. Oh, they really have Labatt Blue?
They had a Labatt.
Wow.
Yeah, Labatt on tap.
Yeah.
That on tap. It was really cool. So, yeah, I'm, you know, it took me, you know, 30 years, but I finally understand the appeal of this little game.
Yeah. Well, now there's a professional league that's starting up too.
Mm-hmm.
The Professional Women's Hockey League. And I know, I don't think LA has a team, but they do on the East Coast and in Canada. But yeah,
yeah.
It's coming. It's coming.
Did your dad put a lot of pressure on you to play, like, growing up?
No, there was one significant push, but then he saw me skate and he was like, it's a non-starter. But when I was at the pickup game, they're like hurting for players because it's so kind of far out that they're like, can you skate? I was like, no, I'm not going to, I can't play with you.
Right.
But maybe on a long enough timeline, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it's like, there is no checking in these games. And so that's when I could maybe, I could stand in place for 45 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Just park it on the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hockey was a big sport at my high school. Like I went there, you know, moved to Massachusetts halfway through high school from Kentucky, you know, a place where basketball is the only sport that matters, to this place where I truly had not encountered hockey being a serious sport anywhere outside of a Disney movie, and like went and everyone was like, God, the hockey players are so cool, so hot. And one of my friends like used a loophole to get onto the freshman hockey team, even though he was a junior and didn't know how to skate. And so when you said just like stand there, like he just like kind of glided out onto the ice.
Right.
And then, like, took a, like, swipe at someone and fell over. And they were like, all right, man, get the fuck
out
of here.
Like some Happy Gilmore shit.
Yeah, it was truly, truly Happy Gilmore. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
But the slap shot on that guy.
Oh.
Breaking the glass.
Shout out to Michael.
Wow.
Yeah. What a time. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and cover some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and we're just going to get right down to it. Five Nights at Freddy's, video game movie. Mm-hmm. That was not aware of that. I had a sense based on the poster it was a movie based on video game, and it's like spooky Chuck E.
Cheese. Did you guys? Yeah. Which is, I'm bummed that the movie sucks because Chuck could really use the good PR right now.
Yeah.
Did either of you play it? I never played it, but I remember that was the first video game I ever saw, like, play through YouTube videos for.
Okay. I never played it, but when we were both working at Playboy, Jamie, when I was doing video there, there was like a video series with two playmates that are gamers. And I remember I had to like produce a shoot with that. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, this game is fucking freaky. But I'm not into horror as a genre, but I have seen it played. And like at the time, this was like the biggest shit. Like I think it came out in 2014.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a, you know, huge, huge like indie game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I didn't even realize it was an indie game because of how like. Yeah, that was the first time I had ever like encountered that as a thing that happened and thought it was isolated. And then, you know, obviously I've never stopped seeing it. But it's, I mean, haunted animatronics, a great idea.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The guy who invented the Chuck E. Cheese animatronics, very racist. Like, don't fuck with this guy. However, at least up as recently as a couple of years ago, still had this warehouse in Florida where the animatronics were once made and was really trying to capitalize on the success of Five Nights at Freddy. And because he basically lived in a, you know, like haunted animatronics palace. So he started like selling the like Five Nights at Freddy birthday party experience with his like scary old animatronics. Oh. And it seemed to be somewhat successful.
Man, that makes sense. Some point. I mean, like the real, the diehard fans, like they fuck. I mean, there's a reason why it became a Blumhouse film. It's because they definitely see it. There is an audience. There's an absolute audience for it.
So producer Victor is noting that there are multiple 3-hour lore documentaries about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy?
Five Nights at Freddy.
What could that possibly mean? That's so interesting.
Well, that's like a big thing that like as the reviews come in, like there's a whole debate where some people are like, it's not really for casuals, man. Like if you don't fuck like, or some people are like, there's not enough lore. Yeah. It is wild. Like I'm like, it's interesting following the reaction because like anything when you have a huge, like when a fandom gets to that point where now like a Blumhouse or major studios are like, yeah, let's see if we can make money off of this. It's always interesting to see how, like, inevitably the fans will be disappointed. I think it's just generally what's always going to happen. Like, there's only a few instances where you have something with, like, a huge mega following, take that next jump to, like, major film distribution and it be, you know, palatable.
I was kind of, I kind of forgot it was coming out until they showed the trailer at Saw X. And I was like, damn, they got Hutcherson, and my friend was like, I don't think that's hard to do.
It's like, what did you just say?
Josh Hutcherson's like, what? Like, in the seat in front of you?
Did you say my name? 2012.
Yeah, you need something?
I did see Josh Hutcherson getting into a very quiet argument with his girlfriend in front of a restaurant near my house once. So it is, like, not that hard to get Hutcherson. but I was like, I don't know. Maybe I just like went 2012 brain for a second where like, I'm like, damn, they got Hutcherson. Five Nights at Freddy is huge.
Yeah. It's bigger than Hunger Games.
Yeah. There's something about the minds of people who are like scared of animatronics, I guess, or like into, I don't know, because the writer of the original indie game, also like a right wing person.
God, what is it with animatronics and being a piece of shit?
I think because they're like techno slaves or some shit, probably. Mm. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I make them do what I say and I can make you in my image. Like, I don't know. It's probably some weird God complex.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. On some level.
But hey, I would love to see where are the woke animatronic studios at?
Right.
I mean, there's certainly woke animatronic fans, but I.
Right.
But we're not technically minded, unfortunately.
Right. You're just there for the commentary.
Mm-hmm. We are topping out for Five Nights at Freddy's. We are topping out on Metacritic. So the overall Metacritic score is 29, an average of 29. Oh, and we're topping out. Usually usually you will get like one or two that's like, hey, I actually enjoyed this because I was like, my meds are dialed in or something, you know, like, so like I sometimes I just enjoy the hell out of them. Like one of my favorite film going experiences was Die Hard 4 for no reason other than I was just in a good mood right. that day.
Good place in your life.
Yeah, good place yeah. in my life. Loved mm-hmm. that movie the first time I saw it. And then I watched it again. I was like, oh, this yeah. is bad.
right.
But like this is at, we're topping out at 2 out of 5 stars. Most of them are lower than that, the average. And this, like not all reviews are in, but it seems pretty dismal. And everyone's saying it's boring, which
yeah.
it's not. And
boring?
Yeah. I mean, even like the fans, like there's a guy who would like stream it on YouTube, like this guy, Jacksepticeye guy. Like his review is like, it is not great. Sort of like the nice version. And yeah. and a lot of people are like, you made a lot of Five Nights at Freddy content. But again, I think that's where like you see a lot of, you know, other fans come in and be like, it's just it, people aren't going to understand it. It's not for normies. But then this guy who like plays the game a ton is like, just felt rushed in some spots, other parts. It just was very normal, like did not feel like as, you know, original as like the game, the original idea is itself. So.
You know, see the trailer, you're like, oh, they got Hutcherson, but they,
they got Hutcherson.
But they like now I'm kind of embarrassed because Hutcherson knows like what I'm into and like they did such a bad job with the lore that right. now like I'm like, they shouldn't have done this to they Hutcherson should. Or us.
And or was, Matthew and, Lillard, you know?
Matthew awesome. they got Lillard. That they got was another Lillard. Thing. I mean yeah.
Mary Stuart Masterson. You yes. know,
kind of a star-studded cast. I was really impressed with the cast. I oh, love yeah. that they got Lillard. I feel like Lillard played the game. That's my guess, is that Lillard was into it. Hutcherson, I don't know of his nah. hobbies. I don't yeah, know. Nah.
His agents were like, hey, man, you're going to have to say yes to this.
We got bad news.
You yeah. have to be the lead in Five Night Freddy.
You're Five Night Freddy. Cause
you're Five Night Freddy.
You're Freddy.
You're Knife. Yeah, you're Knife Freddy because nobody was fucking with Journey to the Center of the Earth 2.
Oh, man. God, he was in that. Yeah. It's a bummer that we would eat at the same ramen place. It's like when I saw Taylor Lautner at a bar I go to and you're just like, this sucks.
Recently?
It's like 5 years ago. So I think that.
But I mean, like post, like super high Twilight peak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like a place where you get like, you know, $3 backwash. I'm like, why the hell is Taylor Lautner here drinking yeah. $3 backwash with the plebs?
Was he doing that thing where he had his back to the bar looking out at the bar? To be
like- He was holding court. He was holding court. It was really cool. Like he bought rounds. He was holding court. He had no issue with you knowing he was drinking backwash at the bar, which is cool. That's a cool quality. He was with, I think, his girlfriend, now his wife, also named Taylor. That's not very cool, I don't think.
Right, wait, he married a Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now wow. they're the Taylor's Lautner.
They're both Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Should we talk about the Britney Spears memoir?
Oh.
The audiobook? Have you guys
Michelle
listened?
Williams?
Yeah.
I have.
Slowly, I've just slowly seen some like excerpts get sort of elevated to the top. But obviously, I think the big one with the release of the audiobook was everyone sharing the clip of Michelle Williams doing an impression of Justin Timberlake doing a black scent.
Yeah. It's
what?
It's a lot.
Have you yes. not heard it?
No.
Jamie, for someone who is so online, I'm like, Jamie, this is old hat for Jamie. I'm sure. Okay. So
I was like, let's see how long I want to read it. And I also was waiting for an episode of Chelsea DeVonta's podcast about it. I was like, and then I'll engage.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Wait, so tell we'll me. Just
one excerpt, you know, like this is one loose line that's like blowing up where she's, first of all, like Britney Spears is talking about why she was fucking with NSYNC over Backstreet Boys. She's like, NSYNC, like they listen to hip hop, like they seem more oriented towards that kind of culture where the Backstreet Boys felt very white. Mm-hmm. We'll just play this clip really quick because
when they're
it's,
all white guys from Florida, I'm like, yeah, and like, what is that? Like, and let's by not the forget, same guy.
Let's not forget Chris with his techno dreads either.
Oh my God.
But hey. Let's focus on
Chip
Justin here.
Skylark himself. Brutal.
But yeah, this is one of the excerpts here. Just talking about this time where he met another famous R&B musician. Mm-hmm.
So the other thing, like a lot of people are pointing out, like this seems, Michelle Williams is a 5-time Academy Award nominee. People are like, why is she doing this? And then they're listening and they're like, oh, she's the best that has ever done this before. She's right. killing it. She's doing a great job. So, yeah, this is a little sample of that. And it's an anecdote that it's caught a lot of people's attention.
Mm. His band NSYNC was what people back then called So Pimp. They were white boys, but they loved hip hop. No. To me, that's what separated them from the Backstreet Boys, who seemed very consciously to position themselves as a white group. NSYNC hung out with black artists. Sometimes I thought they tried too hard to fit in. One day, Jay and I were in New York, going to parts of town I'd never been to before. Walking our way was a guy with a huge, blinged-out medallion. He was flanked by two giant security guards. Jay got all excited and said so loud, "Oh yeah, fo shiz, Genuine, what's up, homie?" After Genuine walked away, Felicia did an impression of Jay. "Oh yeah, fo shiz, Genuine." Jay wasn't even embarrassed.
Wow.
I like there's like a yada yada pass that I'm sure they had an interaction, but it kind of suggests that Genuine just, he did that and Genuine just walked away.
Yeah.
Immediately right. was like, oh my God.
What the fuck is that?
The abrupt switch after the audiobook pause before Genuine walked away. Like, you're just like, oh my God.
After Genuine walked away.
She's a professional.
Yeah.
She's good.
A professional. That alarming. I'm looking forward to reading that book, or probably more likely listening to it. Celebrity memoirs are meant to be listened to.
Especially yeah. Because I'm pretty sure what Britney Spears personally was like, I want Michelle Williams to narrate this. Like, this is why this is happening. So
very weird. Very weird. How do they know each other?
Dialed in so well, though. Like, what better person to lend your voice or to have their lend their voice than have Michelle Williams do the Britney Spears book?
So but good. Wow.
Maybe she'll get the EGOT.
Yeah.
Maybe she will. This is her Grammy.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, beautiful.
There's all sorts of there's also the story that Britney Spears almost got. What was the famous role that she almost?
Oh, The Notebook.
The Notebook.
Yeah.
She almost was cast in The Notebook.
She was like in the final three.
Yeah. She was in the final two. It was between her and Rachel McAdams. And like like Scarlett Johansson, all these other people had tried out and they were like, Britney Spears is like fucking nailing this. She's
like, really?
Absolutely like an amazing actor.
Oh, wow. There's like her audition tape is available.
Yeah, yeah.
That's her audition tape's out. Cool.
I think they camera tested with Ryan too.
Yeah.
I know that there were a number of extenuating circumstances in Britney's life that, but I was, her movie career was like a non-starter, and up until recently you couldn't even get Crossroads, like you couldn't even stream it until recently, even though that was like an early Shonda Rhimes script.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was like one, I think it was like one of Shonda Rhimes' like first produced scripts ever was the Britney Spears vehicle Crossroads, and she's so good in it and she's so charming and like she's a good actor. And it's like it worked out for Mandy Moore. Mandy Moore kind of dropped music and started This Is Us anger. I still don't know what that show is about, but damn, she would have been cool in The Notebook.
Yeah. Yeah, because what Shonda Rhimes also, didn't she do Princess Diaries 2? That was like another super early one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Shonda.
That was after Crossroads. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, pre-Crossroads. And if I'm recalling, I know too much of Shonda's filmography. Oeuvre. I think it's just shy of, it's like the year before Grey's Anatomy.
Oof.
She did Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement. Yep, sure enough, it is true. It is true. But I'm like, what is Shonda's relationship with Britney? Is there one?
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know.
Right. What could have been, you know?
Truly.
Yeah. If she was Meredith Grey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
But then it's like, we would have been, I mean, and again, this is like not even taking into account what happens later in Britney's career, but like we would have not gotten some really solid Britney albums if she had gone too far into acting.
When she talks about it, she's like, I, you know, at a certain point, I decided to stop auditioning and just record, just drop classic albums on you all instead. Like
if we got Britney in The Notebook, we may not have gotten Blackout. And that would have been challenging.
Right.
For me as a youth, that would
for
have been,
American culture.
That would have been pretty hard.
You think America's bad right now? You think America's bad right now? Try and picture this counterfactual.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also she has a quote like in one of the articles I read about the notebook thing that she was like, it was just mentally too difficult. Like I just embodied the character and like trying out for that character like got to me. So like she was almost like too method for to like actually pursue acting because it was just like too painful for her.
God, I love that woman.
Which sounds like a great actor. Like, yeah, let's make it happen.
Yeah, it's funny that. Too, like, because Justin Timberlake does not come out looking good in this too. Like she talks about how like she became pregnant like with his child and then, mm-hmm. you know, had to have an abortion and things like that. And then like now it's funny to see the PR machine move in Justin's direction. And they're like, Justin Timberlake is fine. He's actually just focusing on being with his family, like amid the noise.
Amid them, like, when it's also noise. Like pretty well documented that his family does not like him.
Right.
So cool. I hope yeah, I'm sure exactly. they're really enjoying spending time with you on this, your 50th cancellation. I was trying to, I was trying to think of, you know, like because of SAG rules, I'm like, I have to think of like a Halloween costume I can wear. And I have right. a lot of, I can pretty close to replicate the Justin Timberlake denim outfit, and so I'm trying to put something together like recently disgraced denim boyfriend but it's getting the hat together because then I you know and then I was just gonna put, you know, tear streaks, some snot, shit like that, recently disgraced denim boyfriend. That's a really free good. One for everybody.
That's so good.
You got to get those gradiated, like those gradient shades too.
Oh my God, yeah, like the yellow the freaky late 90s blue blockers everyone
yeah
was
wearing. Yeah.
Yo, it's so wild like that outfit. There's like tutorials on how to make the disgraced denim boyfriend outfit. Like it's like
is
how
there?
To make your denim Britney and Justin outfit.
Good Lord.
What a time.
I mean,
time.
great horrible man, great outfits. Britney. Yeah. God bless her. She's the best.
Keep on dancing with those knives, girl.
Or don't. Jamie, such a pleasure having you, as always.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, the same old places. Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar, Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. Listen to the Bechdel cast, read Raw Dog, and stay safe out there.
Yeah. I loved it. Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
I wanted to shout out Marsha Belsky really quick. She tweeted about it yesterday, but she was arrested at the Capitol this week. She was protesting with If Not Now, mm-hmm. calling for a ceasefire, and kind of shared her whole kind of experience of what that was like, and, you know, some criticism of Bernie Sanders in particular. And I just, it's a very informative thread, and she's the fucking coolest. So that is a work of media that I found inspiring and cool this week.
There you go. Miles, where can people find you? What's the work of media you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere else. Let's see. Yeah. At Miles of Gray. Also follow us on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties. If you like 90 Day Fiancé and Trash TV, we'll check out my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophie Alexandra. And if you like, you know, true crime, check out The Good Thief, the new true crime show I'm doing. But it's all eight episodes are out. Let's see. A tweet that I like. I don't know if I have any tweets because I haven't been on there recently, but I just started watching The Bear.
Oh,
so I just so I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on here? It sounds like people are right. That shows it's worth watching. But yeah, so far I'm enjoying what I'm seeing.
Yes, chef. Am I right?
We chef.
Behind chef.
Is Joel McHale that much of a dick? I've only like seen this like one flashback scene where he's like maniacally being like, you fucking suck. Like, what the fuck is this?
You suck shit.
You suck shit. Shut the fuck up. You're slow. Go fast. Like, I'm like,
oh man.
Oh my God.
Really like embodies the... Like your mind at its least healthy, or at least my mind at its least healthy is just mm-hmm. like I feel like is he's a great stand-in for that.
Right.
Like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? It's like so mean. It's like kind of comical. It's pretty incredible.
Right.
The Bear. Da Bear. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. I haven't really been looking at Twitter for the past 24 hours. Thank you. My Bloody Valentine. That I think that's the name of the slasher film that I recently watched. That is fun, hot garbage from like 1981, 82. And it is shot in a town in Canada. It's this like really rundown town. They shot it on location, I think probably because like they lived there. But you really get a sense of like the town from the movie.
The town.
That is about a slasher who comes out around Valentine's Day and starts cutting people's hearts out.
The best.
Yes. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off the information we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Well, guess what? We're going to have the link to that Henry Winkler music video because I found it. You can check that out in the footnotes. The opening is wild. Anyway,
is it a song that is also about monsters or is it about horses?
No.
Is it Monty Coded?
It's called Puddles and Wishing Wells.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I'll let y'all check the footnotes. You can watch the full-length video that came out in 2009. It was actually 2009, it turns out. But anyway, the music that I think we should go out on is
Puddles
this.
And Wishing Wells.
Monty Revolta's rendition of I Will Always Love Ghoul.
His wordplay is truly next level. Band of the Living Dead.
They're going out on an LA band called the Altons, A-L-T-O-N-S. And they're like, a band that's around now. They're from LA, but their shit sounds like you've discovered like new 45 records. Like if like Motown was like in LA, like it feels like West Coast, like 60s, 70s soul. Mm-hmm. It's really dope. And they're really talented and like they got the aesthetic really down. And this track is called Over and Over by the Altons, A-L-T-O-N-S.
All right. Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Mm-hmm. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back on Monday.
Yep.
To tell you what was trending over the weekend. And then on Tuesday for a special expert guest episode. So we will talk to y'all then. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.